We'll find out what that means. We'll also talk about the groundbreaking series of talks aimed at asking if all ideas are welcome or not. Dr. Riley will be a telephone guest on the program, and we will be checking in shortly with her.
This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And you're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK. As we mentioned, we are excited to be talking with Dr. Alexander Riley, the professor of sociology at Bucknell University. And I think we have her on the phone, correct? Okay, hold on one second. Are we there?
I am here, yes.
Okay.
Hi, good morning.
Hello, I just called you a she. I am so sorry. You are a he. I apologize, Dr. Alexander Riley. Thanks so much for calling in. You are a professor of sociology at Bucknell University, correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right, great. And I'm told we're going to be talking about the Bucknell Program for American Leadership and Citizenship. You're presenting Campus Politics and the Liberal Arts Campus Politics and the 2019-2020 Speakers Series. If you could just first talk a little bit about the series of speeches and discussions that are going to be taking place.
Absolutely. Yes, this is a series of events that were planned largely during the fall semester. So we're getting close to the end of the fall semester now. And we have an event coming up this week as part of this series. And the title, as you just said, is Campus Politics and the Liberal Arts. And the idea with the series was just to talk a bit about some of the tensions and the conflicts and the debates and arguments that are ongoing on college campuses about just exactly how expression should work on college campuses and how we should regulate, if at all, the content of ideas and the way in which academic debates and intellectual arguments are carried out on campuses. So, of course, there's a lot in the news these days about how various campuses around the country are engaging in that business and various things that are happening that illustrate some of the tensions and the conflicts and problems around those issues. So we're hopeful that we can get at some of that material in an academic sense by having speakers come in and talk about a range of, some of them are talking about specific things that have happened to them on their campuses with respect to their own expression,
mm-hmm.
and some are talking more about academic research that they've done on this phenomenon. So that latter category fits the speaker that we have coming this week, who's Jason Manning.
Okay, great. Now, Jason Manning will be at Bucknell Thursday at 7 p.m. at Gallery Theater. And Jason Manning is an associate professor of sociology at West Virginia University. And the topic is campus conflict and moral culture. Maybe you could expand on that a little bit for us.
Certainly. Yeah, as you said, Jason Manning's a sociologist who has worked a bit, in fact, co-wrote a book with his colleague, Bradley Campbell, that's directly dealing with this topic that I just described, the idea of what he calls the emergence of a victim culture or victimhood culture,
mm-hmm.
on campuses and then beyond that, beyond campuses as well. This is really the thing that sets Professor Manning's work and his talk this week aside from some of the other talks that we had earlier in the semester, is that he's not really focusing specifically on college campuses, although he does argue that this new kind of moral culture that he describes in the book originates on college campuses and originates specifically in some academic theories about discourse and about how expression should work and how identity and moral culture is to be understood. But he's really looking at it as an aspect of how American culture much more broadly has changed over the last several decades. So they give us, in the book, they give us a really brief, or actually not so brief, I should say, more detailed discussion. I'm going to do a brief version of it right now, this discussion that they do of how human moral cultures tend to work and what tend to be, at least in American history, what tend to be the kinds of types of moral cultures that we see emerging over time. And they describe three different kinds of moral cultures.
Okay.
Maybe I should start just by saying what a moral culture is.
Yeah, so that would be great.
Human beings are really into to moral frameworks for basically have systematic ways within social groups that we can tell members of our groups what's good, what's bad, how you're supposed to behave, what kinds of things you're supposed to do, and what kinds of things you're supposed to avoid doing, mm-hmm. how to construct an identity as a morally good individual. And there are lots of different ways that human cultures can do this. In the American context specifically, Dr. Manning and his colleague, Dr. Campbell, they lay out these three types that have historically have been more or less present at particular times. So they start by talking about an honor culture. And honor culture is the way that, that morality works and the way that human individuals construct moral identities. Is that they're very fastidious and they're very interested in the notion of honor and insult. So when you see honor cultures at work, indeed they say that although these three types tend to be more or less present at particular historical times, you can see evidence of all three of these cultures in various parts of American society still today. When you see honor cultures, you see people who are they're really quick to respond to what they see as acts of dishonor or acts of insult.
I see.
So in particular, in a typical honor culture, if you insult me in a public way, and I feel that my honor has been impugned in some way for other members of the culture, I might respond in a specifically individual way by dealing with that threat to my honor. I might tell you, hey, you better take that back. If you don't take it back, then I might raise the level of my response even further. And indeed, they say in the book that honor cultures have a tendency to lead, in at least some cases, to violence and to the use of, if not violence itself, to the threat of violence as a way to ensuring the honor of an individual. So you see various kinds of systems emerging here, sometimes in honor cultures like vendettas, where social groups will respond to perceptions of or real threats to their honor by saying if you come after one of our people, we'll come after one of your people. These are the typical example that's often given in American society here is to talk about the old South, the honor culture of the old American South. So that's one kind of moral culture that they talk about. Very broadly speaking, they say in the book that historically, as a whole, American society moved past honor cultures at some point in the last couple of centuries, and we embraced a new version of moral culture, which they call dignity culture.
Okay.
Now, in dignity cultures, the idea is that you now see as much more important the idea of self-restraint and of a kind of dignified and, if you will, civilized response to insult and to attacks on your honor, rather than responding by feeling like you have to punish those who have dishonored you, and you have to do it as an individual. The dignity culture response to an affront of this kind is to say, the classic cliched version that we have in American society for this is the old aphorism, sticks and stones may break my bones,
right,
but words will never hurt me. The idea is that I'm above responding in a way that these crude, uncivilized folks of the honor culture would respond to insults. I'm able to weather anything that you throw at me in the way of those kinds of petty insults. I may have to respond if the threat and if the attacks get more severe, but if I do so in a dignity culture, I don't do it as an individual. I don't respond to you with violence or with the threat of violence, but I go to some third-party entity for adjudication and who will settle those disputes for me. I may go to the legal system,
okay,
and I may sue you. Or I may find some other way, there may be some other authority that I can go to. Typically, the shift from honor culture to dignity culture takes place, as they argue in their book, in a setting where a state authority has become more powerful and more capable of being that third party that will enforce moral codes. So that's dignity culture. And then the third kind of culture that they say is starting to emerge over the last several decades, rather, mm-hmm. in which this is the kind of culture that they say is really has come into our into focus for us a lot in the last couple of decades, largely with stuff that's happening on campuses. But again, there are lots of examples off campuses too. And this is what they call victim culture or victimhood culture.
Okay.
And here there's a kind of mixture between honor culture and dignity culture.
Okay.
Where you're
I don't mean to cut you off. We're running low on time, so if you could no, that's okay. I want to make sure you get your point across that this is going to be on Thursday, December 5th at 7 p.m. Is anyone invited to attend one of these events?
Yeah, these are certainly open to the public, to anyone who wants to come to attend. And if I may, just in the seconds that I have left, so victimhood culture is it merges honor culture and dignity culture. And there's this idea now, a renewed idea, that you have to patrol honor and insult. In fact, this is more magnified than it was in the past. Everybody's super concerned about assaults on their dignity and on their honor, and they're patrolling this very fastidiously. And now there's this whole emergence, as in dignity culture, of all sorts of third-party entities that people will go to for adjudication of this of these insults. And so this is why you see all these things that are happening on campuses, where individuals, as members of groups, they see themselves under attack, under assault by folks. They consider themselves victims that merit protection mm-hmm. by these third-party entities that they then will get involved to go out and patrol and police their honor. And so as this is a new culture, I think there's lots of conflict over it. Some people who say the victimhood culture is a normal and logical response to all sorts of things that are going on in American society. Some folks who say it's really something of an overreaction. It's a kind of moral culture that really isn't all that workable because of the way that it defines identity and that it defines insult and so forth. So this is really what Jason Manning's book is about, and what he's going to talk about when he comes on Thursday. We're just hopeful that lots of folks will come out and join in the discussion with us.
Well, we can't thank you enough for joining us this morning. We hope folks will join in on this discussion and take part in these events. The Bucknell Program for American Leadership and Citizenship presenting Campus Politics and Liberal Arts Campus Politics 2019-20 Speaker Series, and that will be Thursday, December 5th, 7 p.m., the first in the series, Gallery Theater. Jason Manning, he's an associate professor of sociology at West Virginia University. He'll be the featured speaker. Campus Conflict and Moral Culture. Thank you so much to Professor Alexander Riley for joining us this morning from Bucknell University. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.
You too. We'll be getting back to WKOK Sunrise with some local news on the way soon.
Your friends and neighbors are smiling after their single-visit dental restorations by Dr. Carl Jenkins.
We were looking for a dentist that we knew would be top of the field.
When I came to Dr. Jenkins, I was at the point I couldn't chew on either side of my mouth, and he fixed it. Here I am, less than a year later, with all new teeth, and they were all made here.
I've had lots of crowns done, and it's so much fun watching that crown machine. The nice part about it, they fit perfect when they're done, and you do not have to come back three or four times to get a crown to fit.
The process, it's pretty amazing. They do the prep work first. Doc does his wonder on the computer. 20 minutes later, go eat a steak.
I am very pleased with how the crowns appear when I smile. It makes me want to smile even more.
Dr. Carl Jenkins in Watsontown. Visit us at smilesbyjenkins.com.
Walwalter's out here in Beaver Springs. Why do Beaver Motors customers drive out in the middle of nowhere to Beaver Springs to buy cars? Is it Gilly's good looks? Or is it the outstanding service department? Is it the beautiful fields and mountains? Or the fact that no one can beat their deals? Is it my tremendous singing voice? Or their huge selection of Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram? We don't really know, but we'd like to hear your opinion. So come see the good folks at Beaver Motors, remembering that the middle of nowhere is still halfway to somewhere. And Beaver Motors Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram is halfway between Sealands Grove and Lewistown on Route 522 in Beaver Springs. Or visit us on the web, halfway between your kitchen and your dining room, at www.beavermotors.net. And tell them Walt and Gilly sent you.
J.
Chad, we need to be serious. I want to talk about building our team.
Oh, wait, like a basketball team? I could hit a three-pointer.
No, Chad, I'm talking about the Coldwell Banker Penn 1 team. We are growing and expanding, and we need current active agents as well as brand new agents to join us.
Oh, I get it. How do I sign up?
You can stick with your day job, Chad, but anyone else who would be interested in joining our winning team can contact me, Lisa Barrick, at ColdwellBankerPenn1.com.
Fantastic. When do I get my jersey? I'm a medium.
No jerseys, Chad.
For a smarter holiday home, come to the Home Depot, where right now, the Google Nest Learning Thermostat is a very smart $70 off, and save $50 on the Google Nest Hub. Adjust the thermostat from across the room at a holiday party. Get recipes from Google Hub, and right now, do it for less. Get holiday savings now on Google Nest, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, limit 2 per customer, cannot combine with any other offer, valid through December 4th.